each of you on. Robert, good to see your name up there, friend. Haven't seen you for a while. Trust the Lord is continuing to bless you. All righty, we're going to pick up that 37th message. We left off in verse 20, and it's talking about the church praying earnestly and being faithful to the doctrines, to the scriptures. And we read a couple out of the Record of Nephites, the references out of the Record of Nephite. We're going to pick it up then on the 21st verse of the 37th message. And like I said, we closed up last week talking about the church praying earnestly and often that all would come closer unto the Lord. And this is out of the 20th. That all would come closer unto the Lord, that they may know His Spirit and follow the doctrine taught in the Scriptures. And therein lays the trouble today, is so many don't follow the Scriptures and rather would like to do kind of like Ed's talked about and Phil as well. They do what they want to do. You know, they want to do their own thing. And so, but it's very important that we stay obedient to the Word of God and that we stay steadfast in defending His Scripture. Because if we fail, it's to our loss. It's we fail of ourselves. And so there in the 21st verse it says, there are those that have shown negligence in defending the truth, but because of traditions of men and the desire for primacy, they have failed to please the Lord in all things and have sought to hinder the work of the Lord. They shall not have part in this work. They shall not have part in this work. Yea, the day soon comes when such shall not be called the servants of the Lord by my voice, nor by the true spirit, because of their sin. They have made light of the words the Lord has spoken. Therefore they do not heed, and unless they speedily repent of the ways that are not wise, and secret deceptions, shall no longer have a lot or portion in the sacred work of the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and read that 22nd to you, and the 23rd, because this really all ties together, these three verses. It says, remember, he that faileth of himself, and shall not be numbered among the people of the Lord. The church shall necessitate a cleansing out of the priestcraft. The work of the Lord is holy, and men must not defile the sacred rites of God. And we've seen that some of this has came to pass. You know, this was given in 1938. There had been several, I'm not going to call them splits because they wasn't splits. There had been several cleansings that people have came, men and women have came with a man-made agenda trying to subvert the work of the Lord. And they have success for a little bit. They lead people astray. They try to get the work off on strange doctrines. But God always has a nucleus of faithful. And the names have changed. The faces have changed. But there's always been a nucleus of the faithful that has been steadfast to defend the work of the Lord. On down to this very day that we live in, 2015. And so there's a nucleus that the priesthood is still intact. And it is still alive and vibrant as it was when Christ restored it, as it was when Christ established it in the very beginning of His ministry. But there in 22nd, it says, remember, he that faileth of himself. We choose, friends. We choose where we spend eternity. You know, I'm not going to stand before the pleasing board of God and Carol stand beside me and say, well, Lord, but he's a good guy. You know, he was, you know, tried to help do this and tried to help do that. And my friends are not going to be there. And my brethren in the church are not going to be there. Each of us will stand before the Lord and be judged accordingly to ourselves, the choice we have made. There's a reference over to the 30th message, verse 4. Let's just peel back a few pages there and look at that. And I didn't look these messages up and have them marked ahead of time, so bear with me. 30th message, verse 4 says, "Thus saith the Lord, you must all drink of the bitter cup, that you may know that which my son has suffered. For behold, the crown is after you have fought the fight. Speak not evil of your brother, nor of your fellow man whose mind is still dark. Go to them in love. Glorify the world by righteousness. Enlighten your mind by humility. Love always. Hate is not your work. I have called you to save the world. Accordingly to your humility and your faithfulness in keeping my commandments, so far you will accomplish. If you will fail, you have failed yourselves." God has called us to do not the impossible, but to do His work with His help. It may seem impossible to us, but it's not. And if it seems impossible, then we are looking at it through the eyes of men and not looking at it through the perspective and eyes of Christ. We're having a little trouble with the internet on our end, so if I cut in and out, please forgive me. So if we lose the perspective and start to think of this as our work, that's when Satan comes in, and next thing you know, we become self-righteous in our attitudes. We become prideful and neglectful. But there in the 30th and a couple places here already in the 37th, the Lord talks about the need to do the work His way and be obedient to the commandments that He has given them. And like I said, they have remained a nucleus of faithful all the way down through the time that the Lord has been dealing with mankind, all the way down to this very present day. But it's in the Lord's plan that they become a cleansing. And like I said, I'm not calling them the splits, because there's not a split in the churches. You know, the church has not split, because that implies that everybody has the same authority. And we just take our marbles and go home. We don't like Bob, we don't like Fred, or we don't like Ted, or anybody like that. That's not happened. Men calls them splits. God calls them a cleansing. They have been cleansings all through the work of the Lord. Back in the 1950s, there was a big upset. Men left to work. And I say men as in men and women. In 65, there was one big hullabaloo. 1994, there was another big hullabaloo. In 2003, there was another big hullabaloo, where people that once walked the walk left and did their own thing. And just, they can call themselves whatever they want to call. They can justify. Don't we justify our own actions when we do things that we know are wrong? You know, whenever I'm driving 10 miles over the speed limit and I get pulled over, don't I justify in my mind why I needed to drive 10 miles over the speed limit? Well, my gosh, I got to drive 60 miles to get there before the parts store closes. I got to get there. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to drive 10 miles over. Look how much time I'm saving. So I justify my actions. And then when I meet Mr. State Trooper and he turns around and pulls me over, I pay for those actions. You know, I pay the fine and pay the court cost, and then my insurance goes up. And then Carol gets mad at me, and we have good girl insurance and bad boy insurance. I pay the price, and sometimes it's for years. When we pay the price for neglecting the work of the Lord, when we pay the price for not doing what God has given us to us, it's not going to be for a few years. You know, and then our rate's going to go down, or our reward is going to increase. But it's going to be for eternity, brothers and sisters. It's going to be forever. And so, as we've been reading through this 37th message, you know, I keep thinking how, you know, this came in 1938, and there's so many parallels that's common to what we are experiencing today in the social makeup, the national makeup as far as the stability of governments, the political makeup of different nations and what's going on in different aspects, different parts of the world, is such a parallel that, you know, it's, we got to bring it into how does this apply today? Well, it applies the same way it did in 1938. If you and I, if we do not make God real in our lives, then we're going to be caught up and we're going to be led astray by the enticings of the world, the fears of the world, the busyness of the world, the material things of the world. If we are caught up in the things of the world, we will be pulled away from the things of God. And it's easy to get caught up in the things of the world. First thing, you know, the Lord talks about is some have shown negligence in defending the truth. So the first thing is, you know, that ain't right. That message coming, I don't know how you get that out of those verses in the Bible. I don't know how you get that. And so you stop telling people of God's great work, because, and the Lord told us earlier in the verses here, not to weary in well-doing. You get wearied in defending the truth. You think, oh, what's the point? They don't listen anyway. It's not for us to decide who will listen. It's for us to do our part to proclaim the truth and let the people decide for themselves who will listen and who will not. That's between them and God. You know, we get the opportunity to discern good and evil. You know, we can look at what's going on in the world and we can discern, is that good or evil? Does that edify God or does it not? And we can be a part of something or choose to be not a part of it. You know, we are the ones that get to decide that. But we don't get to decide somebody's relationship with Christ or somebody's what their heart is feeling towards the Lord. God judges that, and that's His responsibility to do, not ours. We get to decide, do I want to be a part of this organization that is supporting this, or this organization that's fighting against that? Do I want to be a part of a group of people locally that's trying to, you know, achieve something on a local level? Do I want to be a part of things that may or may not compromise your belief or your stance in the Lord? You know, we get to discern good and evil and choose whether or not we want to partake of stuff. Yeah, Carol said we don't get to, we have to, and she's exactly right. We have to discern between good and evils. Otherwise, we will become a part of the evil. Actually, has linked a reference here, the 1 Thessalonians 5, and that is quite right, because as I stated earlier, when I stand before God, Carol's not going to stand there and say, but Lord, He loved His kids, and He did this, and, you know, and Daryl's not going to be there and say, you know, well, every time I talked to Terry, he, you know, tried to encourage me, and he did this, and he did that. And, you know, those things are not going to be between me and my friends and God. Those things are between me and God. He is the one that judges the heart. Now, if I'm, you know, running with a group of people that's doing some things that's contrary to the Word of God, then it's my responsibility to discern that. And so here in 1 Thessalonians 5, Exe's got 12 to 28, it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. But we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men." This is what we're talking about in relationship where the Lord's telling us to defend the work, but take it out to the world, to take it all to all nations. See that none render evil for evil, and say unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And that give everything, you know, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Always makes me think of the 150th Psalm, you know, where it says to praise the Lord in all things. And so the day we live in, that we make the Word of God alive in our life today by turning, you know, not rendering evil for evil, not rendering sarcastic remark for sarcastic remark, thinking ill of our brethren, but rather to show the love of God, to show pity and comfort upon those that are ignorant of the Word. And you think, boy, that sounds a little self-righteous. But what comes to mind, and I have to remember this, is the, you know, the frustration and really the animosity I personally feel towards the evil that people are doing in the name of religion. You know, we got the false prophet and his followers rearing up and killing people right and left. We got the harlot of the world over here visiting, and people, you know, just throwing themselves at his feet. You know, it's been all over the news this, you know, this past week. And, you know, praising and glorifying a man, and he's up there talking about global warming and chastising, you know, people for not giving all their money to the poor. And I'm thinking, well, if you're concerned about that, open your own bank accounts, buddy. You know, if you're concerned about the treatment of the poor and huddled masses, then cash in those jewels and bars of gold you got stashed over there in the banks. You know, turn your companies over and see how long that works. You know, somebody made a comment, yes, he has changed our government, and I don't think necessarily for the better, Angie. And it's been a long time coming, you know. Not that I'm agreeing with Boehner stepping down or not, don't get me wrong. I'm looking not at an individual statement as he changed it today or this week, but his influence has changed our government. And the Lord said it would. I mean, way back in, you know, back in the 1950 messages, in the early 60 messages, the Lord comments that his influence has had its effect on our nation. And so, lost my train of thought now on that. So with what's going on is the opportunity for Satan to take our eye off the real work of the Lord. And that is teaching the truth and preaching his gospel. Because all this is, you know, is a dog and pony show to appeal to the secularism of the masses today. The earnest, the honest in heart, they see through a lot of this stuff, you know. And this, it's like Brother Bill said one day, this is a pope that he can really support because you can see the emptiness of it. You know, and so I'm hopeful that some people that are following that doctrine will start understanding and seeing the emptiness of the doctrine, and thus will start searching for that greater light. And that's why the greater light needs to be defended and represented. So verse 24 goes on to say, some have been discouraged and their faith weakened. Let them be enlightened of the greatness of this work, that they may be encouraged. For remember, Satan has done many things in the past that has led men astray. With enticing words, he has led men away from the teachings of Christ and his church. Listen not to the whisperings of Satan. Be not led by the pride nor the love for praise of men. Make clean your hearts and humble yourselves more, as conditions will come that will require greater faith. Be kind to all men. Cry repentance. Preach the gospel to the nations, for all must be warned. Peace will have place in the hearts that are honest, and obey, for salvation only cometh from obedience to the words of him that shall judge you at the last day. The Lord changes not, and he speaks now unto the children of men as he spoke in the days of old. And that's the reassuring thing about the gospel of Christ, is it, you know, hasn't changed. No matter if we're heating with whale oil or we're heating with coal and the air is so thick with smog, children die by the hundreds of thousands over respiratory illnesses. Or lo and behold, all of a sudden they find technology and electricity and mankind improves and air is cleaner than it's ever been. That don't make no difference. The Word of God is the same. It does not change. And the gospel, the everlasting fullness of that is that you can only find salvation through Jesus Christ and his atoning blood. So ask yourself, who did Christ align himself with when he walked the earth? He came down and he said, them Pharisees, they are such a good people. Why, they've been ruling my people for hundreds of years, and they have just done an outstanding job. In fact, they have done such a good job, they have made it impossible for man to be saved. But they are a good self-righteous little group. They beat their own chest and stand in the synagogues and tell you how good they are. And those Sadducees, they're just hung up a little bit on that resurrection issue, you know, a little bit on the reincarnation issue. And those prophets of Baal, my gosh, if I could just have a couple hundred people follow me that good, why, just think of the things we could get done. He didn't go and align himself with any organization, did he? He came and established his own church. And he came just as the prophet said he would. And he came and just as this little guy here, he came in flesh and blood. And then whenever he grew up, he established his kingdom and his ministry. And then whenever it went through the period of darkness, when he said that the ministry would be removed from the face of the earth, and then it was restored, he said that it would never again be taken away. It would never again be missing from the face of the earth. And it's alive and well today, brothers and sisters, because of your faithfulness in defending the truth. And it's not by your strength that you've defended it, but it's by being able to stand upon the Word of God. Because as the Lord says in the 25th, I change not. And he speaks now unto the children of man as he spoke in the days of old. Because, you know, think about that. This is God that created the earth, that sat all the stars in heaven, all that mystical thing that men are just now marveling at. Like, oh my gosh, the planets are aligned in this and that, and it's going to be 2,000 years before they're ever this way again. Ooh, ah. Well, come on, who do you think set that in order? It's not by random. Chaos does not develop. Order does not develop out of chaos. God created it. God created man. Adam and Eve, we know all the trouble they went through. Moses, getting his people out of Egypt, we know all they went through. All through David and Solomon, Saul, all that trouble there. All through the prophets, all through men and women. Being closer to God, further away, closer, further away, closer, further away. All that comes into play. But God does not change. He says, come unto me, and find rest. And it's only through His saving grace that we can. It says, verse 26 says, I prepare the way before the Christ in the days of old. Again, I prepare the way in those days, for His coming is nigh at hand. And that is the purpose why the prophecy was given in Malachi, that He said a messenger would come and He would again establish, as it was in the days of old, that the ministry would be prepared to do the work of the Lord. And so those are prophecies being fulfilled. The prophecies in Daniel, where it talks about the day we live in today, is being fulfilled. Carol's going to try to find that song, Exe. So we have that because God has not changed. You know, He is the same yesterday and today. Whenever the wise men came and talked to Harold, you know, Harold didn't know what was going on. All of a sudden, there's three guys out here asking for directions. And they said, well, what are you looking for? We're looking for the King that has been sent to earth. They came because it was prophesied where to find the child at. And they came searching for the child. They came because God told them, spoke to them, the truthfulness of that prophecies. And it was also prophesied that they would be wailing and mourning in the streets of Bethlehem because Herod turned around and killed all the male children, 2 years old and younger. And that was prophesied as well, that they would be mourning and crying in the streets. So it's not only the fact that the Lord said that He would send His messenger. It's the fact that the Lord is going to finish everything He said He would do. He will accomplish His good work. Verse 27 goes on and says, I prophesy unto the children of men, heed ye the voice of Him that made heaven and earth and all things that are therein. Repent of your wicked ways and turn unto the Lord your God with solemnness and humbleness, and He will hear your cry. Yea, ye that have heard His voice, continue on with a contrite spirit. For blessed are the honest and the upright and the just. Send this message to your brethren in the church. Let those be printed with the warnings may go to others. He prophesies unto the children of men. Heed not the voice of those of the wickedness. It says to repent of our wicked ways and turn unto the Lord our God with solemnness, to take this work serious. With humbleness, and we read the definition of humble, to know that it is not our strength, our power. It is a submissiveness to a greater authority. And He will hear your cry. To be with a contrite spirit, and at the start of the study of the message, we read the definition of contrite. To be of awareness of the state of your spirit. Not to be a hardness of heart with that, but to be of awareness of the influence of that of around you. For blessed are the honest, the upright, and the just. Think back about what was going on in 1938 when this message came. And look at what's going on today, friends. And it's a lot of the same. Love of Christ that surpasses all understanding will show that indeed, God is good to His word. Actually, had reference here, talks about the Vatican having the ruling power in this country. It's message 29:16-20. I'm not going to read it, but if you want to, go read that in it. And it states that part of that work has been accomplished. Part of that work of the evil has been done. And we see the influence that it had. You look at what's being talked about in that 29th message is talking about the prelude of the Second World War and the war that we're in right now, because it didn't end with World War II. And a lot of the behind-the-scenes things in World War II was with the blessing of the Vatican and the Catholic Church, because the people in Europe was more afraid of socialism, communism, communism than they was with the socialism that the Catholic Church represents. But they was afraid of the Bolsheviks of Russia, and because the communist was a greater fear. And so political powers aligned themselves with Catholicism to get strongholds over large groups of people. And then they was even persecuted themselves, you know, as Nazism took over and went on to do its evil work. So, yeah, Angie's got a comment there. You guys can read it. It says, "What saddens me so this week is that the moves here and in Cuba are so open and so few seem to see it. The time it is obvious what is happening." It is quite obvious, and they are so few people that see it and that understand the implications of it. You know, friends, it's just, you know, how is this different from 38? The signs was there in 1938, what was going on and the steps being taken. And there are so few people that understood that. And, you know, but God doesn't change, does he, Walt? He doesn't change. He is the same as he has been, and he is our rock and our salvation. So, back to the 28th verse, 37th message. It says, "Send this message to your brethren in the church. Let these words be printed that the warning may go to others." And bear in mind that when the message comes, it comes to the church first. When the cleansing started, did it start in government? Did it start in the world? Did it start at a local level? It started in the church itself. It started at the headquarters of the church. Then it went through the membership of the church. And the same as the cleansing of the world, as the church is cleansed, the lambs and the goats will be separated all the way through the four corners of the globe. God's great work will continue on. "I have come from you, from the Lord. I am the messenger of the Lord to instruct in this work. And my name is John the Baptist. I will come from time to time as the Lord will direct." Amen. And there's a lot that we just talked about these last 4 weeks over covering this 37th message. It's been a very wide gamut of information that we've talked about. And it's been, to me, it's been good that we can look back and we have history that we can look back at the things of the world and see how true God was, see how accurate he was. Because we can apply that to this very day. Because God is always on time. He's always accurate in the discussions and the promptings and the leadings that he's given to his people, in the sending of his messenger whenever he needs to send him from time to time. He'll be right on time when he sends him for the 121st message. It will be right when we are ready to receive it. Now, we may think we're ready now, and the good Lord knows I would like to see him send his servant. But obviously, we're not in need or we're not ready for it because that event has not happened. But when it does, it will be the same Spirit, it will be the same Lord that is doing the sending, and which means it is the same work, and it will continue on in doing the work of the Lord, because God doesn't change. He has not changed his style of government. He has not changed his decrees from one generation to the next just to be pleasing unto the people. You know, he has not condoned sin when it is sin and say, "Well, I know that's how you want to live today, and that's not right, but if it makes you happy, that's okay." And that's whether you're disobeying the laws of the country you live in or you're disobeying the laws of the Lord with the lifestyle that we live. And that's whether we're lying or cheating, coveting our neighbor's wife, being a lover of men, being a whoremonger or adulterer. Because in the eyes of the Lord, sin is sin. You know, what separates thievery from homosexuality, from abortion? What separates, you know, covetousness, seeking to steal things from your neighbor, you know, his servants, his wife, or the husband in the wife's, you know, point of view? You know, the sin is still there, and it's still the same. There's no greater or smaller, but it is pardonable, and we have an avenue of redemption. We don't have to die in sin. We can live a life in everlasting life through Christ Jesus. And that's where our hope stays, and that's what, through the 37th message, I want to leave you with that, is there was some very dark days that the country went through and was going through here in 1938. There was a bad recession in 1938, you know, going on. And what ended that was the start of World War II. You know, there's a bad recession going on today, you know. So there is an air for those that are looking. There's an air of, if you do not stay steadfast in God, there could be an air of hopelessness. But it's not hopeless, because God is still on the throne. And this necessary evil that we are living through has to occur. And it will go on to fulfill its course, and God will redeem his people, and he will set his foot a second time. And we praise God for that, because he has proven over and over that he is good to his word. And just praise God for that. All right, friends, I'm going to close on that. Exie, I'll catch up with Carol, see if she has found that other song. And if she has, we'll play it. And so let's close with a word of prayer. We'll have a little musical interlude and then turn the service over to Brother Bill. Lord Father, we ask that thou would just bless us this week, that we can, when the things of the world press against us, we can remember that our hope lays in you, and that we can turn to you, and we know that the uplifting that we get, the peace, the comfort that we feel, is not from things of the world, but rather from the touch of your holy hand. And I thank you for that, Lord, that you have blessed us to know of your truthfulness, and that they have been that nucleus of individuals that has stayed faithful, Lord, from all the way down to when the priesthood was removed, and then when the priesthood was restored. They have been men and women, Lord, that has recognized your authority and have, Lord Jesus, kept it sacred. And I thank you for that, Father. And I ask that you give us the strength to do the same, that you give us the opportunity to be those that, when people look, they say, see how they love one another. So, Lord, I just thank you for the blessings you've given us. Protect us this week. Be with Larry and Norm, Lord, and Arlene and Gloria, as the missionary work is ongoing. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.